Okay, feedback on our risk management questions, and welcome to, and you are in the order of your groups, Ken, Micheline, Ton, and Sybil. So groups A, B, C, and D. And the questions that we had were, if you can remember, first question was, from your experience, are there other principal risks that the foundation should recognise? Now, I'm not sure whether we've got those questions, April, that we can put up there. The second question, for the risks identified, what actions does the foundation need to consider to minimise the impact of those risks? And thirdly, what do we think our risk appetite tolerance for each of the principal risks should be? So those four risks that had previously been identified and any others maybe that we had identified. So I'm actually going to start with that question one. So from your experience, are there other principal risks that the foundation should recognise? And I'm going to start with Ken, if your group would like to, or you'd like to make a comment as to what your group said.
How do I turn it on?
It's working, it's on, it's working.
Okay.
So, you can't whisper things because they'll come out.
Oh, really? Dangerous. Okay. Our group, the four risks identified, our group... I think added one, has one to add, and had two that we would kind of like to develop a little bit more, and agreed with the other two. So how we kind of looked at it, we sort of saw the risks, as I described, as being to do with the capacities of the foundation to achieve its objectives. So the brand and the reputation is a very important part of your capacity to deliver the geopolitical risk, talk to the human capacity, the products, to talk to the quality of the products, the quality of the processes, and the IT structure. As accountants, we also thought that financing and funding was critical to the capacity of the foundation to deliver. So that kind of gave us a more complete look. We agreed with the branding and reputation. We agreed with the IT infrastructure. When we looked at the geopolitical risk, though, we thought that that was too narrowly defined as we read it. Geopolitical risk, I think, we see an issue that the financial markets are looking for efficiency, are looking for globalisation, but the political markets are looking for localisation and nationalisation, and that's a ongoing struggle that we heard about at the previous meeting, and it is something that the foundation is at risk of becoming a casualty of, as the politics and the economics sort of fights. So we really sort of saw that as being much more than just Brexit, much wider issue than that. When we looked at the quality of the product and the product risk, there's part of that is about the quality of the processes and the risks around that. The other part is about the seems to us that there's actually the stakeholder commitment to those standards, those products, so that they do actually achieve the foundation's objectives of bringing transparency, accountability, and efficiency to financial markets. So we need to work in conjunction with auditors and preparers and regulators. And if we get out of step, if we have too much conflict there, then we won't have generally accepted practice, which is what we're aiming for. So that product thing, we sort of wanted to develop both into a process idea and into a stakeholder engagement kind of risk idea. The geopolitical one we saw much more as being, you know, the broad acceptance of our brand within the turmoil of the markets, and we wanted to add financial risk. So that was where we were at.
Thank you, and really good that what came out of the previous meeting in terms of that geopolitical, you could link into that. So, Micheline, did your group include as accountants add financing as well? And I saw you nodding when Ken was talking about the geopolitical. So, anything additional from your group?
Well, I'd say for the geopolitical, we call this the risk of market fragmentation, i.e. the lower willingness to forfeit control to an international organization. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting as a way to phrase it. In terms of the financing, we did raise it, and we were explained that the financial position was somewhat better than what we had discussed a number of years, so it didn't make the list at the end. So that's why I was noting to this. We had a lot of discussion in our group. It was a very interesting participation. So it was you picked a very interesting topic. Some of the things that was discussed was the representative risk. There was raised that basically organization that we had standard for are much more from a somewhat occidental capitalist model, that it was not very well suited for some of the other products, other organizations that are in other parts of the world. Takaful was mentioned as one example of where the organization is not present. And therefore that some of these groups feel a bit somewhat excluded in terms of the products delivered, but also in terms of the representativeness on the ISBI FRS structure. And I guess the groups were like Africa, South Asia, South America. So there's a sense there that it's, they're not included enough in the discussion and in the end product. So there's a question there of also the communication with them in terms of being there and not just involving in the organization, but also being talked to, like visiting and so on. So there's some efforts there.
So let me just ask you, and we'll come to the others, and can't go too far. With that representative risk,
yes.
Is that a risk per se, or is it actually a process around the brand risk? Because if we're not getting representatives from the right places, the impact on our brand?
It's related to brand, but it's more precise than the brand overall. Okay. And effectively, there was this question of lack of engagement at the end, okay, and therefore losing the impact of the brand. There was something about the human resources risk. There was some recognition that the role of the ISB is changing. It has been a long time focused on fixing a number of problems, some of which have took 20 years to look at because there were tough issues. But now it should be more driven towards the future. And therefore, in terms of looking at this, you may want to look at how much it influenced your need in terms of human resources, and also with the young generation, some of the issues about being flexible and so on. So it's all about adapting to the new challenges and the new. New employees, if you want. Communication risk about that was mentioned about the fact that it's needed to have early consultation, and that there's people feeling that some of the lagging in terms of acceptance of some of the standard may have been helped with more early consultation, and that's. So that was also raised.
Okay. And a number of those, and the, looking at the definition of the risk that we've had in some ways are also what Ken talked about in terms of the existing risks, just widening them some more and the digging into those existing risks rather than necessarily brand new risks that the foundation is facing. They're potentially part of those and extending those. And you're looking at me as though you don't agree.
No, it's okay.
But it's thinking through. So, Ton, and did you have additional ones, or can you amplify if you agreed with what the other two have said?
Yeah, I can. First of all, we have new ones, I think. We have also talked about internal risks that relate to the reputation of the foundation. For example, inappropriate behavior of staff, internal fraud may harm the brand and the name of the ISB. In relation to Brexit, we also note that there might be a shift in Europe. Nowadays, you have on one side, you have the UK, they are more pro-IFRS versus France, they are less pro. And in the middle, you have Germany. By leaving the UK, the balance might change, what might have an impact. And we also talked about the funding, which is a relevant point. And of course, the product has to keep relevant, and that was discussed earlier today. What did we... what also was said by some is that changes in IFRS, the big changes, they are not that very accepted, and it might be a risk if the ISB would continue with big changes in the accounting standards. A stable platform is in fact required. And lastly, we mentioned the reputational risk due to corporate failures resulting from reporting using IFRS. For example, the financial effects of reversed factoring are not always clear from financial statements, and when there is a corporate failure due to reversed factoring or reversed factoring was involved, that might have an impact on the reputation of the ISB. We also talked about the goodwill impairment test, that might be risky when there is the goodwill impairment test at the moment is not carried out with sufficient rigor, and if nothing might change, that might cause problems when there is a future financial crisis.
Okay.
That is more or less what we discussed.
Okay, Sybil, anything further?
Yes, there's still.
Okay, all right, good.
There are lots of fruitful discussion. I hope that I can cover them all. Some of them are similar, but we focused some specific areas. For example, under the financial risk, we focused on the funding risk of the foundation. For the geopolitical risk, we think that our group think that the Brexit risk stated is quite narrowly. We are supporting the Ken's view as well, but rather we discussed around that there is another political moving observed in the world, like deglobalization, anti-globalization, empowering of nationalism. So it should have been emphasized in the risk matter under geographical risk. And also it might be tied to product or brand, but specifically we discussed around the independence risk. A number of members commented that some perceptions are voiced by stakeholders as foundation is Eurocentric. There is an unproportionate impact of EFRACT over standard setting. So it's voiced under the independence risk. And there is a relevance risk. For instance, non-financial information such as SDGs are becoming more used for making investment decisions. And after those big standards, some governments lobbying around avoiding some requirements of IFRS. So it might be especially a concern after these measure accounting standards changes. And also in that respect, one member indicated that lack of attention to some industries' concerns, such as insurance or mining, it might cause them grouping and setting their own rules, KPIs, or even setting some standards to themselves and try them instead. And also we talked about location risk. One of the members raised that physical location of London as the base might be a concern. There are contradictory views as well, because when especially the Japan office picked up, somebody also concerned voices around that as well. So there's contradictory view. We also, at the end of the session, a member indicated that while discussing several other things, risk of retaining and recruiting experienced and talented personnel from different geographical areas are emphasized. So it should be a major separate heading, most probably we thought that. And at the end, we get wild a little bit. A member stated that taking over its function by a tech giant such as Google or WikiHow might be a threat. An app might allow transformation of numbers easily to a financial statement and provide easy to analyze tools. So technology opens the barriers to entry. A little bit related to that, also we talked about the competition risks with the US GAAP as well. So there's a risk around that if you do not do your job well, make it harder standards to understand. So there's a competition around, so people might get there as well. That's all.
Okay, well, we have a large number of discussion topics there. I think that, well, we'll come to it at the end, so I'm going to move on to the second question, which was both for the four high-level risks that were previously identified, as well as some of those that you have identified. Where would you actually look at in terms of what does the foundation need to do or to consider to minimise the impact of those risks? Sybil, I'm going to ask you to start again here. Some specific high-level things, either by individual risk or as a total, of the sort of things that you think that the foundation, your group thought that the foundation should consider.
Under the independence risk, we think that balancing actions are required. Outreach especially was a concern. More stakeholder participation to outreach from South Africa, Asia, Africa should be motivated. We know that it is hard because we know that from the comment letters there is not always comments coming from around, or it's not easily reachable. And also another concern is analysts consulted all the time during standard setting, but they have to be selected carefully. There is an argument around saying that everybody blames analysts when there is a problem in the end results of standard setting, but then nobody can be able to point out which analyst is it or which type of analyst, so you have to cover all the spectrum. Also, extending regional representation and cooperation voiced a lot. Priorly, for example, we are having emerging economies group breakfast. We are not doing it anymore. So specific gathering among different type of representatives show them that foundation encompasses different ideas. So with regard to competition risk, we observed with the US GAAP, you have to focus on maintaining quality and relevance of IFRS, and also increase cooperation with the FASB. And for the product risk, we thought that more cost and benefit analysis should be done during standard setting process. how it is done and which ideas considered during these processes should be explained well. It might be have foundation to avoid over-engineering in standard setting and making the product more complex and hard and costly to implement. Complexity should be justified only showing its benefits. So cost-benefit analysis is a must. And that's all that I can.
Okay. So, Tom, did you have any additional ones? Go for it.
Yeah. First of all, we talk about the reputational risk due to internal faults and that kind of thing. So internal risk management is important to address it, governance and that kind of things. For the reputational risk, we already mentioned that there is a criticism on the frequency of big changes in standards. So how to address this is not to change it. On the other hand, it was highlighted that it is important that when emerging issues emerging issues should be addressed, for example, the IBOR, it's important that there is a quick act. As a less good example was mentioned, the alignment of the implementation dates of IFRS 17 and IFRS 9. Further, it is important that there are actions to ensure the consistent application of the IFRS standards. Further, we said that it is important that the auditability of the standards is always there. And finally, we mentioned that it is important to find new ways of consuming financial data, think ahead what new generations would need to use when and how they would consume financial data, because and that is in relation to the keeping relevant.
Okay, all right. Micheline, anything additional?
Yes, I just saw there's a lot that has been said already.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
One thing that probably useful to add is this regarding complexity is the use of simpler language for non-English speakers. So I know that the organization put a lot of attention on this, but still it seems to be an issue. So and it was raised. So please. make some additional efforts in there would be useful, and I guess on the representative risk, I mean it's a question of being more inclusive, if at all possible.
Okay, Ken.
A lot of similarities in terms of the internal controls, internal processes that are needed to manage risk and keeping on top of those. Well, I think we saw prioritising projects as being a really critical risk decision, and I was pleased to see in this latest agenda item the capability of the IFRS to make a difference with the standard was one of the criteria, and I think that actually reflects the risk idea coming through, the risk management idea coming through. Perhaps the one other thing that hasn't been mentioned is that the board at the foundation could consider is the level of activism it has in advocating change behaviour of our stakeholders to reduce the risk that the standards fail to bring the transparency, accountability, efficiency to markets. And that's a question of just how active we are in advocating with the preparers, the regulators, etc., on the use of standards and advocating our brand to them.
Okay, thank you for those, and hopefully the team have written some of those down, and I will try to summarise at the end. But finally, then, the big question: the risk appetite or tolerance that you believe that the foundation should have, or the groups, you, wider, of the principal risks. And the four principal risks identified were brand, geopolitical, product, and technical infrastructure. So in terms of risk appetite, as Mark said when we were talking about disruptive, we're not out there to be. Did I say disruptive? I didn't mean disruptive. I meant whatever the word was. And we're not being disruptive. So the question is, should we be risk averse or should we be more neutral in relation to our risk appetite for brand, geopolitical, product or technical infrastructure? Micheline, would you like to start?
Okay. So for product and brand, we did say this is really major, so that we are effectively should remain risk adverse, because that's basically... You can die if this go wrong. Mm-hmm. In terms of the geopolitical, we were moderately adverse, risk neutral. I mean, especially if you look at the Brexit as it was defined. We didn't discuss with the broader what it would look like. On the risk infrastructure, we were reminded that if the emails of the senior executive of were hacked and emails were sent around with messages and giving false information, and it would be effectively a bigger risk than we would normally see when you read this. So with that focus, we put this as a moderate risk.
Okay. So... the challenges to the other group. So what group, whatever you were, two, said product and brand should be risk averse, geopolitical risk neutral, and infrastructure prepared to accept a moderate risk. Sybil, what did your group come up with?
We didn't discuss all of the risk that we have found out important. We think that the brand is the most important one, so we shouldn't be risking that, so we should be go risk averse for brand. And for the technological risk side, there is not much sensitive information in the IFRS website. More of the communication is going publicly. So, and also the technology is moving speedily. So you might take some risk. At least might be a risk neutral on the technology side. But as an overall comment, what we all agreed is the risk management perspective is quite broad. And overall. So it has to be much more detailed, segmented, and the risk should be decided upon every segmentation and the detailed discussions around. We also discussed a little bit what is the reason of being an overall approach and having risk averse at all. We think that maybe the foundation do not want to risk much funding or independence. Maybe because of that, there is some over-engineering in the standard settings. So, and also, it is taking too much time. If you're risk averse, you do not segment and do in gradually. For example, the standard setting, you go detail by detail, bit by bit. It is taking time, even though you are creating trust, but also losing some due to timing.
Okay. Yep. Ken.
I think we started off by suggesting that in some instances the foundation is actually risk-seeking in order to achieve its outcomes. We'd suggest, IFRS 17 is an example of that. But then we kind of got into, how we use the kind of risk appetite as a way of driving actions, and we kind of feel it's a rather slippery concept to use. Because if you want to manage your risks, you need to kind of anticipate them and have adaptations. It actually requires you to be innovative, and to be innovative, you've got to take risks. And so therefore, to manage risks, you've got to take risks. Mm-hmm. So where do you sort of put a risk appetite statement in all that? We kind of felt that driving actions by the to manage risk, the foundation might want to think more about how much risks it can absorb, what extent it can adapt to shocks, and use the desired resilience levels as a useful driver of action as much as a risk appetite statement. More valuable perhaps to think about their risk appetite being revealed by the actions you've taken, and then assessing whether what's revealed is something you're comfortable mm-hmm. with, rather than as a driver. So we kind of skirted around the question.
But in some ways, what you've just said at the end there, if I'm hearing you correctly, is actually what Sybil said her group was talking about too, in terms of that approach to overall, in terms of the risk appetite or the risk management. Yeah. Tom, final say to you.
Yeah. In general, the ISB objective is not to take risk. On the contrary, they have to keep the trust in their brand and in their product. They are not an insurance company who is taking risks. So to prevent from losing the trust, it is important that there is a risk-averse appetite.
Across the whole foundation?
Having said that, in terms of relevance of the product, what we heard yesterday, it's not only financial reporting, more is important. And we talked in this regard about the Nokia story. Nokia had a competence producing mobile phones, but unfortunately the consumers were looking for smartphones and they were not able to produce. And when you look now here to the ISB, they are very good in drafting in accounting standards, but they do not have the expertise in the other areas. On the other hand, by keeping only in the financial reporting standards, you run the risk to lose relevance. So you have to take some risk in developing. And that might be done in cooperation, that might be done but there is a difficult situation, and you have to take some risk to prevent from other risks. That's what was said by Ken.
Okay. So we have the feedback from the three groups. Sorry, four groups on the three questions. My attempt at summarising, because I think there have been some very diverse, which is in itself is good that there have been some diverse views. And I'm going to be slightly provocative, I think, in terms of question one, in that I would say that there has been overall one significant risk that has been added per se, and that is the financial funding risk that each group talked about, that is a risk of the foundation, and certainly this group's talked about it in the past. Now, whether you want to put it in the annual reports a different manner, however, the fact that it was talked about, it's there. The other additional one that I've noted or I picked up on is in fact what Sybil talked about in terms of the competition and effectively somebody else taking over what we do. All of the others, what I have picked up as is there are specific risks that we have identified, but actually each of those could fit into the four categories that are actually there. Geopolitical was spoken about specifically. You had a different name for it, but that it's too tight. And maybe some of the others, they're too tight, or what we have disclosed in the annual report is not wide enough to cover some of the other issues that we've discussed. And so, yes, we've got a lot of other things, but I actually think, from what I've heard you say, that they are not big other issues. They actually, fit under some of the others. So that's where my summary of what I heard, and Lee is nodding, so hopefully that means he might agree with me, even if nobody else does. Question two, in terms of minimising the risk, I think that there were a number of variety of things. I don't think there was anything major, but there are a number of things which I think all of those should be taken into account, considered by the foundation as to how might deal with those. I'll be honest, nothing jumped off the page at me as hasn't been talked about before in terms of those specific risks, but all things that need to be considered. In terms of the risk appetite, I think interesting discussions. I think a lot of it, what's come out and possibly why the question was asked of us, was actually it is really difficult to say what the risk appetite should be around some of these risks. In terms of Ton's group, obviously talked about, well, we should be risk averse, full stop. I think generally the brand was seen as the biggest risk, and therefore we should be careful about that. But I actually thought that, you know, what Ken articulated in terms of what they talked about, I think actually came out of a number of the other groups that actually said maybe it's not specifically risk appetite itself. And Ken used the words, you know, to be innovative. Ton used the words to develop further. We need to take risks. So I think that thinking about it in a slightly different way might be the approach to think about, rather than your core risk appetite, that certainly me as a director of, non-executive director of companies, that's what I think about, is risk appetite for these things. But maybe for the foundation, it is actually slightly different. So that's my summary of what I heard you four say that the rest of you said. So are there any further comments from anybody before I conclude this session?
Also, maybe a little bit addition. With the more detailed risk management approach, we think that also it should be infused to the culture in the organization. So everybody, every personnel or staff will be aware of that.
Yes, yeah. So it's effectively making sure that the risk management is built into the culture, that it's all there. Go for it.
Well, everyone knows around this table, or currently globalization or sense of being global is facing difficulties to some extent. Mm-hmm. So as a member of IFAS family, I definitely would like ISB to be the global organization and take a role of global accounting standard board. So from that point of view, well, I would like to say that please be careful about this current trend. That's it.
And I think, Hideta, that fits very much into the geopolitical risk that is being talked about here. Right. And that's one of the parts of that geopolitical is what I take from that.
Yeah, definitely.
Any other comments? Lee, do you want to make any comments? Is this being your topic as the closing remarks? In which case, what I will do then is close this, say, yes, it is lunchtime, lunch where we had it yesterday, and back here, please, at 2:00. Thank you very much, and thank you to the four chairs.
It's been a pleasure.